You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferrick. Coming up, we'll ask you to share your favorite hobby and what it means to you. First, we're kicking off a series of interviews with the candidates running to become Wisconsin's next Supreme Court Justice. When the primary election on February 20th rolls around, three candidates will be on the ballot. Only two will move on to the general election in April. All candidates are vying to replace Justice Michael Gableman, who announced last year that he would step down after his current 10-year term ends. It's the first Wisconsin Supreme Court race without an incumbent since 2007, and the stakes are high. We're talking with each of the candidates this week. We'll start with Michael Skrenok. He's a circuit court judge for Sauk County and one of the three candidates running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Judge Skrenok, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, why are you running for a seat on Wisconsin's highest court?
You know, I'm running because for two reasons. First, I care deeply about Wisconsin. I was born and raised here and raised my family here. But also I care deeply about the rule of law. And I believe strongly that it's the role of the court to interpret and apply the law as written, based not on the justice's personal or political beliefs, but based on the statutes and the Constitution. And when I saw my two opponents announce their candidacies, I was not satisfied that either one of them share my view of the court's role, and that certainly has borne itself out as the campaign has proceeded. And so I believe strongly that we need our next justice to be one that is committed unwaveringly to following the rule of law.
We'll get more into the politics issue in a little bit. I just want to hear more about your experience and why you think it makes you the most qualified candidate for this position.
You know, I have the broadest experience, and I think it is the most full experience for preparing someone to serve on our state's highest court. When you think of the types of cases that the court hears, at the very core of most of the cases that our Supreme Court hears is a tension between private interests and society's interests, as those societal interests are reflected in government regulations. And so I spent the first nearly 12 years of my career working in local government as a finance director and city administrator. And in those roles, my job was to assist city councils and mayors, first to understand the limits of their lawful authority, and then to accomplish their goals within the confines of that authority. Then for 8 years, after I went to law school, got my degree, I worked for 8 years as a private attorney. And most of my work there was done with private interests, private businesses, and individuals in their interactions with government. And so I really have spent most of my career wrestling with that tension between private interests and society's interests. And I've done so from both sides of the equation. So I understand the perspective of government and what motivates government officials in trying to get their job done. And I understand it from the perspective of private interests as well. But now as a judge, and Governor Walker appointed me in 2015 to the circuit court here in Sauk County. I grew up in Baraboo, so I'm serving in my hometown. As a judge now, I'm not an advocate for either party in any case that comes before me. My fidelity now is to the law and to the law alone. But I bring to the bench that vast experience. I also have, I believe, the most experience among the candidates in working in our appellate courts. I worked on 13 different cases in our state appellate court system. A lot of those cases ended up at the state Supreme Court. And the work that was done as an attorney in researching those cases and drafting briefs is in large respects the same task that a Supreme Court justice must do when dealing with those same cases. And that is to do research on what the law says, and it's detailed, lengthy, I call it deep dive legal research, to do that research and try to understand what does the law say about these complex questions. And so I've done that work as an attorney in the context of briefing cases to the Court of Appeals and our state Supreme Court. And so I'm very well prepared to hit the ground running on the Supreme Court doing that very same work.
One issue that's come up at the state Supreme Court is the question of when it's appropriate or even necessary for a justice to recuse him or herself. What's your standard for recusal?
Yeah, it's a very important question. And at the very foundation of our judicial system, which is an integral part of the government that we have governing ourselves, at the very foundation of our judicial system is the notion and the importance of having a fair and impartial judiciary. And so for me as a judge right now in Sauk County and for every justice on our Supreme Court, for every case that comes in front of them, each individual judge and justice has to determine whether there's any reason why that individual cannot sit on the case and hear the case, because for some reason they cannot be fair and impartial. And so that, there could be any number of reasons. It could be that you have too close of a personal connection or a feeling about the issues in the case. It could be that you have too close of a personal connection to the parties in the case. There are any number of reasons why a judge or justice may need to get off the case. Now, the difficulty and an important feature in our Supreme Court is that we have absolutely no provision for substitute justices. We have 7 Supreme Court justices, and if one of them needs to get off a case for any reason, we have 6. And if 2 of them need to get off for any reason, we have 5. We have no provision for substitutes. And as a court of last resort, which is what our Supreme Court is for any case dealing with state law issues, it's really important both to the parties and to the public that we have a full bench every chance that we can, that we have all 7 justices there deciding the case. And so the issue of recusal is, quite frankly, a lot easier for me now on the circuit court, because we have hundreds of circuit court judges, and we can go through substitutions and reassignments until we find a judge that can sit on the case without any problem. We don't have that opportunity at the Supreme Court. So that the questions about recusal are much more complex and tricky at the Supreme Court, and quite frankly, more important, because those cases are determining what the law is that applies statewide and controls me as a circuit court judge and controls our court of appeals as well.
One question that's come up is a campaign donation, maybe a substantial campaign donation by a party in a case, something that should lead a judge to recuse him or herself? You're running in a race that'll cost some money. You'll have donors. Would you have to recuse yourself if and when those donors are arguing a case?
Yeah, and at the outer boundaries, the answer to that question is has to be yes. Our U.S. Supreme Court has determined that in a case coming out of West Virginia. They identified what our Constitution requires just in terms of a situation where a party could be so directly involved in a campaign for justice that due process would require a justice to step aside from the case. So the U.S. Supreme Court has identified really what's the upper limit, not in terms of a dollar figure, but in terms of the types of considerations that the justice ought to consider, whether due process would require recusal. And then below that, again, it gets at the core of our recusal rule is a determination by the individual justice whether or not they can remain impartial. And so some of the things that the U.S. Supreme Court identified were, how does that contribution, that individual contribution, compare to all of the funds that were raised by the campaign or spent in the race? Because you could have a number that on its face looks like a very large number, but in reality is a drop in the bucket to the total cost of the campaign. And the Supreme Court said, that's relevant. You look at that. So I have not set a dollar figure that would sort of be a trigger, because every recusal question has to be considered on a case-by-case basis. And the other thing that's important for the citizens to consider is that we have significant First Amendment concerns when you're talking about participation in an election. And we've chosen an elected judiciary here in Wisconsin. It's always been our tradition. And what I'm concerned with, particularly with respect to the proposed rule that was floated earlier and was rejected by our Supreme Court, is I think there's a danger if you set just an arbitrary threshold and say this is the dollar figure. What you then run the risk of is taking individuals or groups that have an interest in participating in the electoral process and participating in the campaign that's going on right now, and having them sit on the sidelines out of concern that a justice may need to recuse themselves over this arbitrary rule. And I think that's a significant concern that the people ought to be concerned about, that we not use an arbitrary recusal rule to stifle activity during an active campaign.
want to get into the politics issue a little more now. As often happens in these races, we have Democratic elected officials supporting one or two different candidates during the primary anyway, and Republicans lining up for one candidate, you in this case. Does the fact that partisan support goes different ways say something about your politics, the way you are anticipated to rule on issues?
Well, it shouldn't, and the reason it shouldn't is because I have been very clear from day one about what my judicial philosophy is. And my judicial philosophy is that the role of a justice is to do the research. And Justice Wilcox told me this. He said, this is what I did when I was on the court. You do your research, and you go where the law takes you. You do not have a case come to you and say, oh, I see this. I see how I want this case to come out. Decide the outcome on the front end, and then just find some legal path of reasoning to get to the outcome. And so I am committed, and I do commit to the people of Wisconsin, that I would, at every opportunity, set aside my personal feelings about a case or an issue and decide the case solely based on the law as I find it. I think that's critically important. Now, it shouldn't be surprising that people either like or dislike that judicial philosophy. And so I don't think that people should be surprised that people are lining up behind my candidacy, including, you know, I've got the endorsement of a bipartisan majority of the sheriffs all across the state. I've been endorsed by the Wisconsin Realtors Association. And those groups understand that that the only way that we have stability in the law is when justices exercise the self-restraint necessary to set aside their personal feelings and not decide cases based on the way the justices want the case to come out, but based on the law, so that we can have certainty in the law. And I think that's really important. The other thing is that I believe strongly in justices recognizing and respecting the separation of powers. And what I mean by that is that when a law comes to the court and the question is this law unconstitutional, the only question, the only analysis that the court ought to be giving that is whether or not when the legislature passed that law and the governor signed it, did they exceed some constitutional boundary? The question is not, is this good public policy? And sometimes people get confused by that, and they want to use the courts as a tool to overturn what they view as bad public policy decisions made by those other two branches. Well, at the core, at the foundation of our government, is an expectation that the legislature and the governor are going to set policy for the state. That's their job. And it's why you have lobbying, and it's why you have robust campaigns that deal with issues for those seats. When it gets to the court, the question is not whether it was good policy. The question is, did those other two branches act lawfully? And that, quite frankly, is not a partisan question or a partisan issue. My judicial philosophy does not change depending on what party is in control of the legislature or what party has control of the governor's office. My judicial philosophy remains the same, and that is no matter who's in control of those other two branches, they get to set policy for the state. It's not the court's role to decide they made a bad policy choice and thus overturn it.
We'll leave it there for now. Judge Skronach, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Michael Skronach is a Sauk County Circuit Court judge and one of three candidates running for Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Tomorrow at this time, we'll talk to Madison-based attorney Tim Burns, who's running for the seat, and the third candidate, Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Rebecca Dallet, joins us on Thursday. If you miss any of these interviews, we'll have them all posted online at wisconsinvote.org.